The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of our webpage.
It's time for AM 1260 The Rock's newest locally produced program called Where We Worship. This 30-minute show highlights Northeast Ohio's Catholic churches, their rich histories, and what they do to meet the spiritual needs of their parishioners. Now here's your host, Bob Tayek.
Welcome to Where We Worship, a program highlighting parishes and Catholic institutions throughout Northeast Ohio, with the intention of offering you insight and understanding on the importance of community in our Catholic faith. Well, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops best describes the parish as the place where the church lives. Parishes are communities of faith, of action, and of hope, and they're where the gospel is proclaimed and celebrated. And parishes are the home of the Christian community. They are the heart of the church. And the bishops go on to say parishes are the place where God's people meet, Jesus in word and sacrament, and come in touch with the source of the church's life. And why is the parish or church community essential to our relationship with God? One only needs to turn to Scripture. In his letter to the Hebrews, St. Paul writes, "We must consider how to rouse one another to live and do good works. And we should not stay away from our assembly, as is the custom of some, but encourage one another, and this all the more, as you see the day drawing near." Well, today on Where We Worship, we look at the history, the ministries, the people of St. Sebastian Parish, located on Akron's west side on Mull Avenue. St. Sebastian's has been celebrating its 90th anniversary as a parish, and I think I can safely say as a true institution and an anchor in that section of the city of Akron. And this is your host, Bob Tayek, and joining me on Where We Worship to look at the history and the current vibrancy of St. Sebastian, well, Father John Valanchek, the pastor, Lynn Stewart, director of music, and Linda Berenger, the parishioner, a longstanding parishioner at St. Sebastian's. We'll begin by starting at the beginning, as they say. In July of 1928, Bishop Joseph Schrems appointed the first pastor, Father Hilary Zwissler, and things were off and running from there. Father John, give us a little insight on the development of the parish from its early roots.
St. Sebastian is the baby parish of Akron, and it began largely because this section of town was not developed at that point. It was an infirmary. It was the county farm, and it was a place for people who were ill, were alcoholics, who didn't have family to take care of them, and they would come work at this farm. As a matter of fact, there's a plot of land just east of the church that's still a giant field that was a potter's field where they would be buried. And just before the parish was founded, the people of Summit County voted to move the infirmary out of town, and then this part of town started developing quickly, primarily because all the smokestacks from the rubber companies were blowing in the opposite direction. More well-to-do people started building in the West Akron area, and up to this point, there was no one taking care of them. You had St. Vincent, our mother church, up the street, but it was becoming quite a distance, and the population was exploding. We had the nuns, Our Lady of the Elms, who opened up a convent and a school. And right after that, Bishop Schrems announced that Monsignor Zwissler, then Father Zwissler, was going to found a new church in West Akron. And there was some anti-Catholic sentiments at the time, which moved us to our current location where they bought the property. And the first parish boundaries extended all the way towards Peninsula, Wadsworth, and whatnot. The boundaries were 60 square miles. Consider that the city of Akron, I think, is 64 square miles. That's an awful lot, but most of it was farmland.
Well, I think it's interesting, too. It's almost an environmental concern is what helped dictate where this might go, too, as you said, with the rubber plants. From those who remember, there was a distinct odor that would come from the rubber plants, but literally the prevailing winds would go east and you were west, so that's why the population started asserting itself there. That's interesting. You know, just a real quick note, I found it interesting that Father Zwissler, who was your first pastor, was a former U.S. Army chaplain, and we're finding as we do these histories of parishes from that era that many were post-World War I chaplains who were then back to the United States and needing an assignment. And this is where the bishop at the time, or bishops at the time, decided to assign him. And that seems to be the case with Father Zwistler.
Yes, and actually he was quite a young man to found such a large parish right off. But as everyone likes to point out, he ran it with German efficiency, but I think a lot of that might have been his military training. Children would march out of the schools to drums, and you had to wear your galoshes certain time. If you did not wear your galoshes, you were sent home from school, because every child must wear their galoshes
really?
To school, don't you know? Oh, yes. Oh,
an extraordinary. The other thing, in speaking of school, an element of parish history that I was quick to note was the establishment of a school. They didn't fool around, if you will. First established, I think, in a local Knights of Columbus hall, because your school is celebrating an anniversary this year, Father?
Correct. The school celebrating 90 this year. The parish celebrated 90 last year. And the school opened the second year of the existence of the parish in the Knights of Columbus Hall, which is very close to St. Vincent's, but it's now the UAW Hall. 200 students were sent in there, and the hall was divided up until the present school building was finished. And then a Thanksgiving of that second year of the parish, they were able to move the students into the school.
My understanding is, and maybe I could turn to Linda, maybe you would have a little historical reflection on this, that even early on, the parish was active, starting with Father Zwistler and then through other pastors that you had. Lots of activities, both liturgical as well as almost social, that centered around St. Sebastian Parish. Would that sound correct?
Yes, it would. And I feel that today, for my husband and me, so often the social things that we choose to participate in involve going to St. Sebastian's.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been through these different venues that you've named a way to build community within the parish, and that has always been, from my perspective, a desire, a need that our pastors support. The involvement in the school has always been very community building, even more so in today's St. Sebastian Parish School. There are lots of activities available to the parishioners that would serve a variety of needs. The CYO sports is huge.
And that's huge.
It's
no,
huge.
It truly is. No, that's good to know. I mean, really.
Little Flower Garden Club meets the need for a lot of ladies and men. They have a wonderful volunteer program that takes care of the parish grounds. And I believe Father has several years of certificates from the Akron Beautiful.
Keep Akron Beautiful.
Keep Akron Beautiful program.
Oh,
recognizing the beauty of the parish.
Outstanding. Well, coming up, St. Sebastian, a very special place of worship in West Akron, on Where We Worship on AM 1260, St. Peter the Rock. Music you hear is the choir of St. Sebastian Parish in Akron, as you're listening to Where We Worship on AM 1260 St. Peter the Rock Radio, as we're talking about St. Sebastian's in Akron. That beautiful choir is under the direction of one of our guests, and that's Lynn Stewart, the director of music at St. Sebastian's. And Lynn, tell me about your music ministries, and that choir is quite a dynamic one.
It is. It's grown since I've come to St. Sebastian. It's gone from 18 choir members to 54 in the 14 years I've been there.
How did you do that? Choir directors across the diocese will want to know. How did Lynn do this?
Lots of diversified music. I do all genres of music.
Really?
What you just heard was early American music by William Billings, and it's the Virgin Unspotted. They are a phenomenal choir. They have been to sing for Pope Benedict. They sang in Ireland on a concert tour, and they're considering another concert tour. But their primary job is to be at liturgy.
That's excellent. And so 54 members now. Mm-hmm. I understand that they get to be accompanied by quite an instrument.
Yes.
And you know, tell us about the organ, though. There's a great history, and it's quite a dynamic.
It is. I'm a spoiled, rotten brat. When I came to St. Sebastian, we had a minimal instrument, and it just was getting to the point where it was not capable of handling the job. So I went out seeking for another instrument and to fit in the space that we had, and I found a church in Canton, Ohio that was closing, and they had a wonderful four-manual, 44-rank chants that was up for sale. So we made an offer, and they turned us down. So when we were in Rome, we were praying, and Father had gone to the tomb of Pope John Paul.
Which is also where St. Sebastian's shrine is.
Yes.
Mm. In Rome.
And I lit a candle, and I said, would you guys just do something nice for the parish? And then I started walking back to the hotel, and there was Lynn jumping up and down. And she said, you're never going to believe who I was just on the phone with talking to them who wants to sell us the organ at our price. And I said, you'll never believe who I was just talking to about it.
That's how we got the organ.
So the organ did come from Canton then?
It did.
Oh, they completed the deal. Great.
Yes, and it went into storage, and they took our old one out, and within 6 months... In November of 2012, we dedicated the new organ with Bishop Lennon.
Oh, that's outstanding. It is quite an instrument to accompany a 54-member choir, mm-hmm. and that's pretty extraordinary. Are there any other music ministries within?
Yes, we have about 100 volunteers in the music ministry program with cantors, a contemporary group. We also have the Latin Gregorian Schola.
Mm-hmm.
So we have that going on, and then children's choir that we just started back up again. So we've been developing and redeveloping and trying to increase the ministry of music in the parish and to reach, do an outreach as well.
No, that's outstanding. Because we know that within the context of a parish, music and the music ministries are really vital to, mm-hmm. well, what would we want to say, our best elements of worship and to be part of that. So it was great to hear your choir, and
thanks.
I'm so glad for you to have that dynamic available there at St. Sebastian's. I wanted to turn a little bit to look at St. Sebastian's. It really has been a rock, an institution on the west side of Akron for these many decades. And Linda, I think as a veteran parishioner, you'll look to some key people in keeping that dynamic available to West Akron and to Catholics and serving the Catholic population there. And one was the longtime pastor, Father Byrider?
Father Byrider was the pastor when I moved here as a non-Catholic, First United Methodist minister. First United Methodist was my faith at the time. Father Byrider certainly had a very important part in my life and in my husband's life, my family's life. And so he, to me, is who I think of historically. I do have a cute story about him. When I did decide to convert to the Roman Catholic faith, he offered the conversion classes that were held in the basement of the church below the sanctuary. This was in October of 1978. He started the classes promptly at 7 o'clock. At 5 minutes till 9, mid-sentence, mid-prayer, it was over because Monday night football started at 9.
Well, there are priorities, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That's funny. But sure enough, you know, well, he stayed on a regimented schedule, but
yes,
somehow was successful, it seems, in his whole process, RCIA process.
Yes, and as a pastor, certainly. And he was very well loved by those who appreciated his structure, his routine, his wonderful religious aura. He was just a wonderful, wonderful man. And I often say to Father Valanchek, I see a similarity. And it's a huge compliment to him.
No, that's excellent.
When I say that. There is one other thing. When Father Bywater was pastor and living in the rectory, he had, I believe she was a relative. Her name is Marie Fisher. She's deceased now. And was the housekeeper, the cook. She kept Father Bywater on his toes and speaks to her sense of humor. I was very fortunate to be involved in the Sanctuary Society and an officer one year. And one year when I was president, we were having an early meeting in the dining room, and Marie bustles in about 15 till 9 and says, "Okay, what does everybody want to drink? I can offer you coffee, tea, ice water, lemonade, and Rolling Rock."
And Rolling Rock, the big 33. What was that father's favorite, I assume?
He wasn't a drinker, but somebody had said, "Oh, that bottle in the that beer in the green bottle is really good."
Oh.
They meant, I'm not a beer drinker, but I think they meant Heineken.
Oh, maybe. But they went and got
He saw Rolling Rock in a green bottle.
Hey, you know, nothing wrong with Rolling Rock either, believe me. No, that's funny. But it gives you a little taste of, literally and figuratively, of you know, the dynamic that was going on within that parish. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was meeting people and getting them where they were in order to talk to them. It's fascinating. Coming up, St. Sebastian Parish today. Its ministries, its liturgies, on Where We Worship on AM 1260, St. Peter the Rock Radio. And you're listening to Where We Worship on AM 1260, St. Peter the Rock Radio. I'm your host, Bob Tayak. My guests from St. Sebastian's Parish in Akron are Father John Valanchek, the pastor, Lynn Stewart, director of music at the parish, and Linda Beringer, a longtime parishioner who has just been giving us some nice insight on some stories going back to the days of Pastor Father Bywater. But we'd like to look now at what's really happening at St. Sebastian's Parish. And Father, I turn to you to say, I know there is a history of both social activity, religious-based, faith-based activities of organizations and so forth at the parish. And you have plenty going on now, including with education as well.
Sure. Not only do we have our own parish school, which is just doing phenomenally, we recently partnered with the Julie Billiard Schools to help open a Julie Billiard School in Akron, which is a Catholic school for children with learning challenges. There was a church that closed about two blocks from the parish, and we helped purchase the property, and we opened up the school, which is fully enrolled for the first time this year. And they're looking to actually expand in other parts of the diocese, but it's been wonderful for the parish. It's been wonderful for our children to have a place to go. As a matter of fact, when we were first talking about this, we heard of a lot of people who moved out of Akron because there was nothing like this for them. And now we're getting reports of people moving to Akron because we have the service, this Catholic service for their children now in the city.
So it's a branch, if you will, of the Julie Billiard School. I think a lot of those in Cuyahoga County will know of Julie Billiard, but not realizing that it had reached down now into Akron, which is really extraordinary on your part to take that on. I know that, well, the city and everyone else recognizes that St. Sebastian is such a key component to that West Akron neighborhood and to all the area around it in what it services. And I know that you have, for instance, when we talk education, is there a post or an after school program that gets involved with children's, you know, cultural development and that type of thing?
Yeah, we have an Academy of Culture and Arts, which actually isn't just for children. It's also for adults. And we teach music. We have different musical organizations, languages, dance, and other cultural activities. As a matter of fact, we may be starting an archery class this summer. I was in a steel drum band for a while. We lost our teacher, but he's going to be coming back soon. But we have strings, and that's where the children's choir is coming from. And of course, there's the concert series.
Well, the concert series is a big part of the academy, which is an outreach to the community. We started it together with the Brick Street Jazz Festival, which we do every July, and we open it up. It's outside, and we bring in jazz bands and have wine tasting and have jazz music all evening to open to the community. The musical arts series is actually in its 13th year, and we bring in major, major groups from organ performances to choral performances. I also have a concert series. It's called the Coffee House Concert Series, which is more secular music. This coming Sunday, actually, we are doing Akron Symphony's Gospel Choir. And then next month, we'll be doing the African Drumming Ensemble, which is my new series, which is world music. I try to bring as much musical organizations to the parish and to the community to bring it as an outreach from our parish.
Now, tell me, who can actually be involved here? I mean, do you recruit? Is it just walk-ins? Is it students, parents, children from the area? How does this work?
Anybody can sign up at the academy.
Okay.
And take lessons or do whatever the classes that are being offered. Anybody can go in and do it from the community. Anybody from Akron can do that.
Where's the academy located?
On the parish grounds.
On the parish grounds.
And you can find it online. But the primary point of this was, you know, the Catholic Church is supposed to be the patroness of the arts, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we've given up so much of our art and our influence of culture by ordering our art out of catalogs. You know, so and when we were running short on finding organists and we were finding out that a lot of the universities around us are no longer even training them, we said, well, why don't we become part of the solution? So we started this academy in order to have artists train in a Christian atmosphere, perform in a Christian atmosphere, perhaps even be paid in a Christian atmosphere, and have this concert series to develop audiences. And we have some exciting groups coming up soon.
Yes.
The Cleveland...
The Choir Cleveland is coming. The Cleveland Chamber Choir is coming back. The
Cleveland Symphony Chamber Choir.
Well, actually, the Cleveland Symphony Chorus is coming
with
in
a
May.
Chamber orchestra.
Yes.
Sorry.
Where do they actually do the performances?
Most of them do them in the church.
In the church,
yes.
Okay. That's what I wanted.
Except for like the Coffee House and the World Series ones. Those are done in Zwizzler Hall.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So that really is that talk about a cultural outreach. And it's really based around music to a great degree, as well as other arts?
Or? I did have an art show, and we may do another one down the road here that I would like to see if maybe have that happen for artists. That was not as well attended. We didn't really push it heavily.
Mm-hmm.
Most of my time is spent procuring musicians.
Mm-hmm. We've also had speakers come
yes.
in for arts. Mother Mary Thomas from the Conversion of St. Paul Shrine, who
yes.
created some artwork for
oh,
us in the
church. Yeah, she's, yeah. Yeah, she's sure. a right. Well,
she had special
artist,
permission
right.
from the bishop to be relieved of her vows for a moment to come down to St. Sebastian.
Oh, wow.
And
yeah.
talk about
right.
art.
She's quite something. Right. Well, that's interesting. Have you found success in reaching people outside of the parish itself to come
Yeah.
in?
The majority of the concert attenders are non-parishioners.
Really?
Yeah. They've come as far as Columbus.
And very many of them are not even Catholic, which is
Correct.
Great. They're
yeah.
coming
right.
in and praying with us, and if we're praying, and,
yeah. right.
and listening to great music in a wonderful atmosphere, Christian atmosphere, and perhaps, I hope, thinking, wow, Catholics aren't so weird. We can go on our property.
Yeah,
it's all right.
They're not so strange. They're yeah. actually real people. Yeah. How about that? No, that is terrific. As we're into the time of Lent now and so forth, other activities, I'll say from both worship or from the faith perspective that you have going on, that have been going on in the parish as far as, you know, any regular Lenten type, you know, events or liturgies?
Sure. Well, we have the Stations of the Cross on mm-hmm. Friday nights, as usual, as most people do. On Tuesday nights, all day Tuesday, we have adoration. And on Tuesday nights, we have a special holy hour. Lynn plays the organ. We do night prayer and confessions starting at 7 o'clock. Anything you want to add?
We do. We've got the mission coming.
Oh, we've got the mission coming. I don't have the dates on me.
22nd.
Oh.
Yeah.
23rd, 24th. And who will be leading it, or... Is there anyone particular?
Well, I'm providing the music. I don't know what you're talking about yet.
So.
Right. It's going to be called Revive. And
yes.
why do we need revived as Catholics? And what does it look like when we are revived? What does it look like when a parish is revived? What does it look like when the neighborhood is revived? So it's not just, here's what you need to do. Here's also what it's going to look like.
Well, thank you. Pastor Father John Valanchek of St. Sebastian's Parish in Akron, Lynn Stewart, Director of Music, and Linda Beringer, parishioner, long time at St. Sebastian's. As you've been listening to Where We Worship, this is your host, Bob Tayek. The installment is featured St. Sebastian Parish in Akron. And Where We Worship is a production of AM 1260 St. Peter the Rock Radio, focusing on the essential aspects of community worship and participation in our Catholic life. As written in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 2, prayer as a community is essential for our spiritual growth and personal well-being. God does not intend for us to bear our crosses alone.
Thank you for listening to Where We Worship, AM 1260 The Rock's newest locally produced program highlighting the rich histories and significance of Northeast Ohio's Catholic churches. If you missed any part of the show, listen to the program in its entirety on our website at am1260therock.com under the Archive Audio tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of the webpage.